Amen. It's good to see everybody out. The last homegroup meeting, the 21st of December of 2021. And, I just want to thank everybody for coming out. You know, the weather is not the best in the world, and there's a lot of folks in there were coming and they didn't make it, but I just want to thank, come all you faithful that came out tonight, and so just thank you very much. Let's go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us tonight. So as our custom, we go ahead and we kind of look at what we talked about last week. And so last week we looked at encouraging ourselves in the Lord. Wow, have you ever been to that place where you had to encourage yourself in the Lord? Well, David, when he was, you know, his family was taken, the men's wives were taken by the Philistines, and even the men were going to go ahead and kill him, as we looked at last time. And the Bible says, to get over all of that disappointment and gloom and doom, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And when we're down and out, and when we're having tough times in our life, we need to learn how to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And so that's what we looked at last time. So there's about 10 points that I like to quickly go over, and then we'll get into biblical elements for daily living, number 11. The first point from last month is, there are times in our lives when we can get so down, all seems to be lost. Have you ever been there before? Well, Harry, I'm sure. Yeah, recently when you had COVID and you were in the hospital, and the Lord touched you, I'm sure that you probably were. If you weren't there, you were getting close to there. And I'm sure, and that is true. You know, I got an email from a wonderful pastor friend of mine, probably one of the three most meekest men that I've ever met in my life. His name is Pastor Keith Cole. And just tremendous. He lives in a church in Kathmandu, Nepal. And he said, please pray for me because I am getting down. I'm getting burnt out. You know, of course, and burning out, you know, when you get burnt out, that means other people are sapping your strength, sapping your energy. And with all of the COVID restrictions and all of the pressure and stuff that he goes through, you know, and I thought to myself, now I know Pastor Ted quite well. He's been to my home two or three times. I've been to his home two or three times. For him to say, pray for me because I'm getting burnt out, the man is there. He's getting down to that place where it seems like all is lost. But if I know Pastor Ted, he knows how to encourage himself in the Lord. Amen? The second point is, no matter how dark things get in the world, no matter how dark things get in the world, wow, God still expects His children, that would be us, to be dedicated, to be obedient, and to be committed. Let me say that again. No matter how bad things get in 2022, I think things are going to get worse than what they are today. They're not going to get better, they're going to get worse. But no matter how worse things get in 2022, God still expects us to be obedient and dedicated and committed to Him. Amen? Now, that is a tough truth that a lot of Christians don't want to hear, but I will tell you, God, no matter what happens, He still wants us to be committed and dedicated and obedient to Him. Point number three, at the end of ourselves is where God is. And I will tell you, and I'm going to use you again, Harry Gilman, as a reference. When you were in the hospital, and, you know, you had COVID, and, you know, I remember you telling me you dropped on your knees. And you said, God, you know, you came to the end of yourself. And at the end of ourselves, when we get in these situations and these places in our lives that, you know, we can't make it, oh, my God, God, you have to save us. That's where God usually meets us. And God patiently waits for us to get to the end of ourselves. And He's waiting there for us, and then He goes ahead, and then He moves on our behalf. Amen? Fourth number point is, do not give up in these times. Find joy, not happiness. Remember, happiness is not joy. Happiness is taken from a word called happenstance, and it's situational dependent. But joy is something that God works in your life. Let me say that again. Joy is something that God works in our life through His dealings and His judgments. Though God slay me, yet I trust him. That's joy that God worked in Job's life, you know. If I perish, I perish. Well, that's the joy that was worked in Queen Esther's life. Happiness is all situational dependent. As long as I have this and I have that and I have money and I have a car, then I am happy. But we don't need to give up. No. In these bad times, we need to find joy by encouraging even ourselves in the Lord, as I said, David did. Amen. Number five, troubles are coming our way in this life. Troubles are coming our way in this life. John 16:33 says, that Jesus, that's a promise from Jesus that we're going to have trouble in this life. But Jesus says, fear not, for I have overcome the world. In Job 5:7, Job said this, yet man is born unto troubles. Wow, man is born unto troubles as the sparks fly upward. And what he was talking about a grinding wheel. You know, and if you take a piece of metal, and you put it on the grinding wheel, and you get that wheel going, and you put that grinding, those sparks don't go down, the sparks come flying up. And so as those sparks come flying up, so is man born unto troubles. Wow. And that is so true. And anybody ever experienced anything in their life, they will go, amen, brother. Number six, if we try to encourage ourselves by any other means than God, it will not work. Boy, that was worth coming for. If we try to encourage ourselves when we get down and we get depressed, and, you know, people will turn to alcohol, that don't work. People will turn to sex, that don't work. People turn to this and that. They try to encourage themselves in all of these things, but that will never work. The only thing that will work when we are down and out is when we encourage ourselves in God. Wow. Number seven, with a humble heart and as a child of weakness, we begin to praise God for who He is now, and who He was in the past. And then we will suddenly find ourselves being encouraged in the Lord, and the Lord will go ahead and begin to minister to us. Number eight, clearly when one is weak and at its wit's end. Have you ever been at your wit's end? You didn't know which way to think, and it was just wow. But when we are at our wit's end, this time is when either our faith will, number eight. Clearly, when one is weak and at its wit's end, this time is when either our faith, when God speaks to us, will move the mountain, or the mountain will remove our faith. Now remember, faith, and I'm going to be talking about faith as I said earlier, we get faith when God speaks to us. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Or in the Greek version of Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing a word from God. So when God speaks to us, and we hear God speaks to us, then we get the faith that we need to receive to overcome that which is in our way. But in that situation, in that time, when God speaks to us, either our faith will move that mountain out of our way, or we don't hear from God, and the mountain will remove us and our faith out of the way. Point number nine, this is the making place God desires to take us all to. A place where, like the three Hebrew children said in Daniel 3:9, but if not, King, know unto thee, we shall not serve thy God. Now that is a place of faith. The Hebrew children, they said, the king said, bow down, and they said, nope, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it either. You could go ahead and throw us in the fiery furnace, but even if our Lord doesn't deliver us, but know this, that we will not serve thy God. If God has to intervene in any other way, he knows his plan for us is in jeopardy of being lost. Have you ever wondered why God will often bless people? Well, God likes to bless us. Yes, he does. Sometimes God will, if people pray for blessings, oh, God bless me, oh, God bless me, oh, God bless me, and God will bless them. But oftentimes God will bless them so God can get them to come along. Because believe it or not, God will know if He doesn't bless them, if He doesn't give them a little blessing, you know, here's a little bit of sugar, you know, come on, here's a little bit of sugar, you know. And you know, I saw this, believe it or not, when I was fishing. When I was fishing, God has to allure us. Hosea talks about alluring us, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit. But I was always remarkable. I love to go, you know, in mackerel fishing and blue fishing. And I don't use any bait. I just use these hooks. And the fish will just jump on my hooks. They jump on my hook. I know how to work that line. Just, you know, you just jig it just right. And mackerel will come by, bang, and they hit it, you know. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit. You know, I'm going to talk about how God has to, but, you know, God has to bless us and has to bless the folks and just kind of, you know, get them to, you know, come along so that He can go ahead and work in their life. Amen? So those were 10 points from last week. And so now we'll go ahead and get into what the Lord has for us tonight. This would be a biblical elements for daily living in number 11. And of course, you know, the biblical elements for daily living, you know, these are things that we need to take into us and to understand and allow God to work in us that will improve our daily living in Him. And so that's why they're called biblical elements for daily living. So the verse there, Deuteronomy 1 and 6. Here the Lord, here we go, Deuteronomy 1 and 6. The Lord our God spake unto us in Horeb, saying, you have dwelt here long enough in this mountain. And of course, we're talking about the children of Israel that were in the wilderness. And God brought them to this mountain of blessing, this wonderful mountain of blessing. And it was kind of like this was the perfect place for them in the wilderness. And the wilderness, believe it or not, is a wonderful place. But if you look at the wilderness, it's all sandy and there's no light. And you would swear up and down it's a place of certain death. But the longer you go into the wilderness, the more you will see the light that is found there. And I have been into many, many wildernesses, spiritually speaking, and in physical wildernesses. And the more that I would walk in these physical wildernesses, the more I was able to find the light that is in those. And it's kind of strange. But anyway, the children of Israel, they were at this mountain of blessing called Mount Horeb. And what I like to talk about tonight would be being disturbed by God. Who wants to be disturbed by God? Nobody? I got no hands? No one wants to be disturbed by God? Well, I think at the end, if I ask who wants to be disturbed by God, that everybody raises their hand. Because this is a wonderful thing in our life to be disturbed by God. Amen? So as God has shown it in Deuteronomy 1 and 6, God rules in the heavens, and His government is in its absolute control. We cannot measure God's grace. It is overwhelming and beyond our comprehension and understanding. It is all-inclusive so that none are rejected from it unless they choose to be. You know, the Bible says that God wishes no one to go to hell. He wishes none to be lost, no, not one. But we know the Bible also says that hell expands its borders. There will be people that in all this world of ministry, of preaching and teaching and all of this stuff, there's going to be people actually today, the 21st of December, 2021, with all of the media and churches that's going to die and go to hell. And it's because they choose to do that. That is the choice that they make by not accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The truth, the opposite side of that truth is they choose not to accept Him, and then when you choose not to accept Christ, then you go to hell. But we can rest in that security, even if God the Father does not have us in a place of comfort. You know, most Christians, and this was told to me by a pastor in Rwanda. This is a quote from a pastor in Rwanda. His name is Bishop John. He says, most Christians in America know not troubles. They know not troubles. The same troubles like as the sparks fly up or Job 5 and 7. but they use God's grace to add to their ease and their comfort. Wow. Now, Bishop John had a healthy-sized church in Rwanda, and I remember I was up on the stage, and I was going to speak, and I was sitting there, and I was just kind of, in my spirit, I had my eyes down, you know, and Bishop John said, "Now, everybody, raise your hands to the Lord." And I looked, and all I saw was a bunch of people with no hands. And they were chopped off. These hands were chopped off in Rwanda, the Tutsis and the Hutus, you know, they were killing each other.
Oh, yeah.
And so they were raising their stumps to the Lord. And I thought, oh my God, wow, what am I going to tell these people, you know, that have lost their hands? I mean, you know. So Bishop Johnny, from most Christians in America, no, not troubles. They use God's grace to, you know, to ease their, to add to their ease and to their comfort. Wow. The Lord at times will move us from our place of ease, just as the Lord led the children of Israel out of Egypt to the Mount of Blessing, and that was Mount Hor, the place where they had it all, and then told them to move on. He will cause us to move out of our comfort zone too. Make no mistake. One thing for sure, if we cannot handle change in our life, then God cannot use us. Let me say that again. If we cannot handle change when God moves us along, if we cannot handle change in God, then believe it or not, God will not be able to move us. Moving on is a constant theme in the Bible. Moving on is a constant theme in the Bible. So too in our lives, the Lord will move us out of a place that we enjoy and we find comforting. Yet life has an ultimate purpose, though we may not see it with our natural eyes of understanding. The only two constants in God, and that is God's love is one, and the other constant is God is ever changing. God never changes, the same yesterday, today, and forever, but God is constantly changing us, that we go from glory to glory and from faith to faith, and God is always bringing us from one place of death to a different place of life, bringing us from here to there, and it's a constant change in God. In God's government, there are three resounding elements, and so what I'm going to talk about tonight is going to be three resounding elements. Though, you know, and through these elements, he desires to show us that our destiny is sure in him and to reassure us that he is working towards that end. This is the certainty on which we must plant our feet, God's love and desires for our life. This change is his desire for our life. From glory to glory, we're supposed to move from glory to glory. We're supposed to go from faith to faith. We're supposed to, therefore, grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is looking for spiritual growth in our life, and that means from here when we start as a babe, and then we're supposed to grow and grow like a tree grows, planted by the rivers of living water. And as we go ahead and we grow in the grace and the knowledge, then we will be going from glory to glory and from faith to faith. This is God's desires for our life. God will disturb us. That is the first element. God will disturb us. He needs to keep us from being selfish and attached and earthly bound in our thinking and ways. Wow. Let me say that again. God will disturb us. He needs to keep us from being satisfied and attached and earthly bound in our thinking and our ways. God doesn't want us to make this world our home. He doesn't. If we make this world our home, then we will never, ever be any heavenly good, because our focus and our energy will be on, on this world. If you look at a hurricane, as we have here in the South, you find a lot of the trees that are toppled, believe it or not, are oak trees. Oak trees are one of the biggest trees that are toppled. And you know why they are toppled? Because they have no roots. Oak trees have no roots because they spend most of their energy producing the bark and leaves. And they don't put much energy into sinking that taproot down deep that will hold that tree. So when a big storm comes by, that big, gigantic oak tree will blow over because the focus of that tree was not to establish it into the ground, but it was just to make this big outward bark. And that's the same with our life. Our focus must not be in this world. No, not the earth, but in this world. And we'll talk about that later. Amen. Abram, later called Abraham, was told, and this is Genesis 12:1, "Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of the country and from the kindred and from the father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Can you imagine that? Here's a heathen. At that time, Abram, he was basically a heathen. I mean, he wasn't saved, but he heard God, and God spoke to him and said, "Okay, I want you to get up out of your land, and I'm going to send you to a place that you do not know. And take your family with you." I mean, you'd think, wow, this is crazy, you know? You know, God is great at disturbing us. Amen? God is great at disturbing us. But I can just imagine Abram when God said, you know, get you out of the land. You know, we think that Abram was some, you know, devout Christian. He wasn't. He was still worshiping God. But he had a love for God, and God used that and kind of moved him along. Not knowing where he was going, but following the Lord's direction, he and his family took off and headed out. This today would be a very disturbing thing to do, just to pick up and head out on the road. Yet, as Abraham followed the Lord, I know this, as Abraham followed the Lord in blindness, day by day, he began to see God's beauty and how God was working on his behalf. So if he would have never headed out, if he would have never listened to God, he took his family and headed out, then he would have never seen day by day God working in our lives. And so most Christians today, they're not willing to venture out into the unknown. They're not willing to go ahead and step out into the darkness and the unknown. They're not willing to do that. And so since they won't be willing to do that, then they'll never be able to see, believe it or not, the hand of God providing for them day by day. Wow. Going into the unknown is very disturbing, but it is the way God leads us. If we know too much, we may not want to go. Let me say that again. If we know too much, we may not want to go. So that's why God kind of keeps his card, you know, kind of close to your chest. If you ever played, you know, poker or Texas Hold'em, you know, you want to keep your cards kind of close to your chest. Well, God often will keep his card close to his chest, because if we know too much, we won't want to go. God knows that it's better to allure us into the wilderness to get his will accomplished. And Hosea 2:14 talks about him luring us into the wilderness to get those things done. And that was the same thing that I was talking about fishing, you know. It was just amazing how I throw my lure out there and the fish just jumps on my hook. It's just amazing how they do that. They go ahead and you just lure them to come in, amen? But first though, we have to be disturbed. Wow. Before he can lead us out there, before he can lead us and guide us and walk in those ways, first he has to disturb us. He has to get us uncomfortable. He's got to get us to out of our comfort in our ease. We are often reminded by God that this earth is not our place to build or to castle. If not, then we will sink roots of dreams and ambitions and plans deep into the earth and its system of life. Now remember, my friends, you know, I hear the earth is not our home. Well, wait a minute. The earth is our home. The earth is our home. The Bible tells us in Revelation that after the millennial reign and after the kingdom age, we're coming back to earth. And we will rule and reign with Christ on the earth. The earth is our home. God is not going to destroy that ball, that earth. But the world, the system, the Antichrist is not our home. So never make that mistake. The earth is our home, but the worldly system, is not our home. Our focus need not be on the things of this world, but it needs to be on the things of God. Wow. The things of God. The spirituality. The spiritual things. Amen? Why did God allow Satan to disturb Job? Maybe because of his heart. I don't know. He was saying, I'm at ease. Job 1 and 3, his substance was, wow, with 7,000 sheep and 3,000 camels and 5,000 yokes of oxen and 500 and the she-asses and very great house. And this man was great of all of the men of the East. Wow, Job was very, very, very wealthy. As God's children, we take that into full scope of things, what we call the good and the bad. In the end, are we able to, as Job was, to stand on the ash heap when God disturbed us and say, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. What a tremendous truth. Many Christians judge their spirituality by their earthly possessions. Let me say that again. Many Christians judge their spirituality by their earthly possessions. Well, if so, then they are carnal. They are not spiritual. They are selfish Christians. We should never, ever measure our spirituality by how much money we have, by how many cars we have. Pastors should never, ever, you know, measure their church spirituality by how many people that come. Oh, no, that is so wrong. Some of the most spiritual churches that I've ever been to might have 15 or 20 people. But there is a love of God and a presence of God there that I wouldn't trade for some of the mega churches in America. Our material possessions are not, repeat, not to outshine the hidden treasures that we have in Christ. Let me say that again. Our material possessions are not to outshine the treasures that we have hidden in Christ. But so many Christians, they look at the outward and they think, oh, well, if you don't have a big house and a big car and a big fancy this, and, you know, then God don't love you. Well, that is carnality and that is selfishness. Joseph also retained his integrity in time of trial while God was disturbing him. As with Job and Absalom in 2 Samuel 1 and 4, God may set your fields on fire in order to bring you before the king. Make no mistake, my friend, God has his ways individually to disturb us. Oh, wow. God has his ways individually to disturb us and bring us to the place where we can be used. God knows just the things to push our buttons. He knows how to disturb us to get us to go out into the unknown, to go out and take a chance and do all of these things where God can prove himself to us. And as God settles us, you'll begin to see that God's government, which is the second point, is progressive. He will constantly call us to those things which are greater, which are higher, and which are deeper in him. We are to be in love with a man from Galilee to the point of surpassing all understanding, no matter what is going on in our life. Wow. We are to be in love with a man from Galilee, Jesus Christ, to the point of surpassing all understanding, no matter what is going on in our life. If this is not you, something is wrong. Let me say that again. If you do not love the man from Galilee, it's surpassing all understanding, no matter what's going on in your life, then something is wrong. No matter our situation, it is not to change our love for the Lord. No matter if we're prosperous or not prosperous, all of that should not change our love for the Lord. One thing that Karen said that really surprised me and really spoke of her love for the Lord is when she had her hips replaced, she was in terrific pain. I mean, Karen was headed for an early wheelchair. But thank God she had both her hips replaced. And she had her hip replaced for one reason, because she did not want the pain to interfere with her relationship with the Lord. Because she found that in her pain, she didn't want to pray. She didn't want to, you know, do the things that God wanted her to do. And her pain was causing an interference between her and the Lord. And she didn't want that to happen. And I really believe that's why God moves supernaturally on Karen's part, because her first hip, Dr. Fru went ahead and And, you know, it was during, you know, the first COVID, you know, epidemic, and Dr. Fu was given 3 emergency cases that he could do of all the people in this area. I mean, and Dr. Fu had thousands and thousands of patients, and Dr. Fu took care of them. Well, I'll never forget that Tuesday, Dr. Fu's office and called. He said, "Can Karen be in my office Thursday?" And yes, sir, we can, you know, we can be there. And it was because Karen did not want that relationship to be damaged. Amen. The eagle stirs up her nest to push the baby eaglet out, just as our Father must push us. Wow. The eagle stirs up their nest to push the baby eaglets out, just as our Father must push us. Deuteronomy 32:11 says, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over the young, and spreadeth abroad her wings, takes them, take them, careth them for their wings." Wow. Again and again, He will take us up from the safety of our nets into the buffeting winds and drop us to see if we have learned to mount up as by command. And that is Job 39:27. "Does the eagle mount up by command and make her nest on high?" Wow. If this is not you, something is wrong. If God is not pressing us, if God is not stressing us towards spiritual growth and development, and something is wrong. If God is not working in our life, as that mother eagle will take that baby and fly out, pick it up out of the nest and take it out there and push it out of the nest and let that baby fall to see if that eagle knows how to fly. Well, we'll find out what happened to that baby eagle in a minute. But that's the same thing that God must do in our life. He must disturb us. He must push us out of the nest. And if God is not pressing us, if He's not stressing us, if all is well and good in our life, something's wrong. If everything is all well and good and everything is hunky-dory and, you know, everything is wonderful, there's something wrong, because God is always wanting to press us and stress us into more spiritual growth and development. Some parting thoughts. With time, however, we will learn the flow of the wind and the current and be able to soar to the new heights where He calls us to. We cannot stay where we are and maintain or attain the glory of the kingdom. Let me say that again. We cannot stay where we are spiritually, where we are, and attain the glory of the kingdom. Wow. We must move in God. And there must be a learning to how God does things, because still greater things in God awaits. And learning to overcome in these areas. Ensure proper and correct application for even greater spirituality and development. God always wants us to draw closer to Him. He always wants greater spiritual things in our life, and that is our choice. And if we stay where we are, then we'll never ever be able to grow into that greater attainment of those spiritual things to where God wants us to be. We must be willing to take the initial steps of letting God disturb us, which brings us to our third point. He will never let us fall. That mother eagle that pushes that baby out, and this is what happens all the time, and this is the way that eagles teach baby eagles how to fly. They take that eagle and they push that eagle out of the nest. And the baby eagle that hasn't learned how to fly yet will flap and squawk and stuff. And then the mommy eagle should swoop down and should grab that eagle up, you know, with her talons and grab that eagle. And put the baby eagle back up in the nest and work on the eagle some more and do it again and push it out until that baby eagle learned how to fly. God will never let us fall. Like the mother eagle, God will soar down and catch us, on His wings, you know, helping us, keeping us from dashing on the rocks below. And He always returns us to the safety of the nest to continue the learning process again and again and again. It's okay if we fail in God. Let me say that again. It's okay if we fail in God, as long as we don't get stuck in it. There's, you know, God doesn't want us to fail, but if we do, and God knows that we're human, and we will fail. But as long as we don't get stuck in that failure, as long as we pick ourselves up and we allow the Lord to work in our lives and we can move forward, then that's okay. That is moving forward. Now, man won't let you do that, but I will promise God is always there for us. That learning process again and again and again. Job 39:20 says, she dwelleth and abideth on the rocks, upon the crags, upon the rocks, in the strong place. That's the place where God wants to go ahead and lead us to. He wants us to dwell and abide on the rock, upon the crags of the rock. And you know what a crag is? A crag is just a little outhouching. Just a little place right there where you know, you can just maybe get your foot up there and climb up if you're going. But I mean, you know, there's not much room. But that's where God wants us to be, out on that crag, because He wants to show us that He can help us survive in that little space right there. Wow. He's our provider. He will take care of us. Wow. Most Christians have no desire to get out on a limb and allow God to cut it off. God has to speak soft. He loves to put us out on these limbs, and He loves to saw it off. Not to see if we're going to fall, because He knows we're going to fall. We're going to fall out. But He will do that so He can show us His mighty hand in our life. How He can save us from ourselves. How He can save us from the world. How He can use, you know, how He can grow in us and do all of these things. And how He is working on our benefit toward the end and the purpose and the plans that He has for our life. Now, we must see this process in our life. We must see those 3 points in our life. We must see this process in our life. If not, then there's something wrong. You're not growing spiritually. If you're not being disturbed by God, and if you can't, you know, if you can't see God is there for us, you know, this process in our life, you know, we have to see that. If that is not happening in our life, then there's something wrong in our life. And I would encourage you, 2022, I think, is going to be a tumultuous year. And if this is tremendous teaching for the end of 2021, and we need to see this teaching in our life, and we need to embrace this teaching that you know, God is there for us, and we just need to keep pushing into Him for that spiritual growth and development. If not, 2022 is going to be a very bad year for a lot of people. Amen? Heavenly Father, we come to You now, dear Lord. We thank You. We praise You for Your Word of God, Father Lord. We thank You for Your Word tonight, Father Lord. How fitting it is, Father Lord God. Lord God, help us, Father Lord God. Be there for us, Father Lord. Push us out of the nest. Disturb us, Father Lord God. Allow us process into our lives, Father Lord. Let us be in love with that man from Galilee, Father Lord God. More and more, Father Lord God. And we love You and we thank You, Father Lord. Use us some more, Father Lord God. Lord God, I ask, Father, Lord God, for the home group meeting that You would send more people, Father, Lord God. And Lord, that we would be not a force to deal with, Father, Lord, but we would be a force of love, Father, Lord God, that would be able to reach out and, Lord, You know my heart, Father, Lord, for this home group meeting is to touch the world, Father, Lord God, to take members of this home group meeting overseas, Father, Lord God, and touch lives, Father, Lord God, and have them touch our lives, Father, Lord. And we thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord God. We praise You and we thank You for Your word, Father, Lord God. Bless all ye faithful, Father, that have come out tonight, Father, Lord. And we just thank You and we praise You, Father, Lord. And we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen.
Amen.